This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Great tweet here. Sean Young says, the big difference is how the leagues market their product. The NBA markets stars, not teams, whereas the NFL is the shield in teams, not individual players.
That's
at
true.
The forefront.
That's true, Daryl. But I
think that's a big part of the equation, though.
Hold on. I understand that. And that comes up all the time. And in fact, I've used that reasoning. But why is Tom Brady not bigger? Everyone knows who Tom Brady is.
Right.
I know
he's
he wears
six
a
championships.
Helmet. He's now being considered by many, especially young people, to be the best quarterback that's ever played the game. And maybe now he's the best player to ever play the game.
Otto Graham might have something to say about that.
But you know what I mean.
No one knows who Otto Graham is, but older Browns fans and people like me.
I don't understand what more the NFL needs to do to get marketing out. Like, they're marketed more than anybody. It's the NFL. The NFL is way bigger in this country than anything else.
Absolutely. But I think Sean raises a good point about the NFL. It's about the teams and the league more so, whereas the NBA... I mean, we went through the brands earlier, Anthony, and a lot of NBA stars in there. The Jordan brand, the LeBron brand.
Magic
Johnson. You go to the NBA, and you're a star in the NBA, you're having your own brand. Like, that's what it's about. In the NFL, it's the
Cowboys.
Championship, yeah. It's the Cowboys, the Browns, you know what I mean? Green Bay. It's more of a team rather than individual.
All right, we'll ask that very question to Mary Kay Cabot. Join us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mary Kay, welcome to the show. And we had a chance to talk to Greedy Williams this week, and I asked him just his general thoughts on Cleveland, and the first thing that came out of his mouth, LeBron James. And I wondered, is there a chance that 10, 15, 20 years from now, the first thing that people around the country, not necessarily sports, but the first thing that people talk about, Baker Mayfield?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. I think that can happen. I think he has the potential to possibly do that. I mean, he'd have to rise to the status of, say, a Tom Brady. But when you think of the NFL, you think of Tom Brady. And if you think of Cleveland, if they've won a few Super Bowls, it will be Baker Mayfield. Even everywhere I go now, anywhere in the country, it's already branding out as Baker Mayfield. So, and that's with seven victories. Or six victories under his belt, technically. So if he goes out there and wins multiple Super Bowls, 100% he can rise to that status.
How does Baker build that brand? You know, Tom Brady, he's got six Super Bowls, but his wife is more famous than he is. So how does, if you believe that Baker can do that, how does he build that brand, Mary Kay?
Well, he is building his brand through his personality. Tom was always sort of under the radar, quiet, and like you said, he's got the celebrity lifestyle. But never really saw him in the headlines very much for anything other than football most of the time. Baker is just the opposite. He is building his brand through putting himself out there, through challenging Colin Cowherd, through challenging Hugh Jackson. That's one of his MOs, that he loves to do that. He loves to mix it up on social media. And, he gets himself famous and out there and people talking about him in that way.
Mary Kay Cabot joined us on the hotline. Speaking of the conversation on social media that Colin Cowherd and Odell Beckham and eventually Baker Mayfield have been having, Daryl and I both thought that, hey, this is fun. This is where social media can be fun. I don't think any feelings should be hurt in something like this. I know Browns fans are getting very upset that Colin keeps talking about the Browns every day and seems to be diminishing their offseason and who they might be this year. Do you think at some point Freddie is going to have a problem with any of this?
No, I don't really think so. Freddie doesn't really follow it as closely as I think he will probably have to as he moves forward. Right now, you know, he doesn't seem to get too much into it, doesn't really take it very seriously as long as no one's getting hurt or anything like that. I think he understands that it is part of the fabric of American culture right now, that it is something that the younger players are very much into, all the social media and the trolling and the going back and forth. And I don't think Freddie really has a huge issue with it. And some of it is all in good fun, and it certainly is working for Colin Cowherd, that's for sure. I mean, it is, you know, it's really helping him build his brand. So he's having fun with it, even though I think he feels this way about a lot of the things that he's putting out there. It still is also, it's great fodder for him.
Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, joining us on the hotline. All right, Mary Kay, who's winning the feud? Yesterday, Colin went with the top 10 memorable moments for Odell Beckham Jr., and he did it Family Feud style, even though he went in reverse order. But who's winning the war of words between Colin Cowherd and OBJ and Baker right now?
Well, here's what I found interesting is that OBJ promises in a tweet that at some point he's going to address this next time he gets with the media. He said, hopefully that will be us. Hopefully that will be in Cleveland, and he'll grace us with that interview. But he hasn't really had his say yet. So we'll see how that goes. But Baker, you know, Baker's bringing it pretty strong here. So far, he's called him a donkey and a clown. So, I mean, it you know, it's fun. The debate always for me is, do I write about this? Do I not write about this? And right now, I have one criteria for it, and that is any of these guys can say anything that they want, Colin Cowherd or anybody, really. But when Baker starts mixing it up with him, when Odell starts mixing it up with him, then it sort of rises to the status of a little Twitter war that people are going to be talking about. And so generally, then I do kind of jump in there and write about it as well. So yeah, it's a case-by-case situation, but some of this has been, you know, even sort of good to write about.
Mary Kay, that's interesting, and it makes me think that, you know, I used to hear these stories all the time back in the day of, hey, if somebody had a problem with something you wrote, then the balance of that is you have to go back into the locker room, and eventually, and I've heard this from many veteran reporters, that they have gotten into it, and they've gotten at times even almost physical altercations with players in the locker room for things that have been said or written. Now we have social media, so it gets hashed out this way. Would you rather have it be like the old days? Not physical confrontations, obviously, but do you enjoy the fact that almost some of these athletes want to pit the fans against the media, which is what ultimately ends up happening here?
Well, it's just a whole new world. I mean, it wasn't fun back in the day when you had to walk into the locker room and argue with a player either. That wasn't fun, and some of that still happens today, obviously, because we still have to go in there and face people all the time. But you know, it's just the new media world that we live in. It's, you know, classes that we didn't really necessarily take. We didn't take these classes in journalism school back in the day, obviously. So it's just all new waters that you have to navigate. And I think it's only going to grow exponentially, really, because, you know, now with the proliferation, sorry about that, of stories, we're getting even more of it. So, you know, with Instagram stories, which seems to be the thing that is really, really hot now, instead of obviously just pictures, we're getting the stories all over the place. So it's just going to be more and more, and we just have to find a way to deal with it as we go along.
Just on the journalism side of this, and maybe this is just a conversation for us here in the room, and everybody that's listening at home could just wait for the next question because maybe they don't care all that much, but I'm intrigued by whether or not, you know, at some point, maybe I'll be a target of, you know, one of these athletes. Maybe Odell Beckham will hear from someone, or maybe we'll tune in on his drive in to OTAs when he shows up, that, hey, maybe the host in Cleveland wasn't saying the nicest things about him, and maybe that host will be the target of some sort of diatribe on social media. Do you ever worry about that and how that could maybe impact the reporting or how any of this is taken?
Well, that already happens. I mean, we've seen Trevor Bauer block people in the media. We've seen Baker Mayfield actually get into a little Twitter war with people in the local media. I mean, so that's already happening. But that's just part of it. It's part of the gamesmanship. Even when you look back to Baker Mayfield with Hugh Jackson and some of the things that were going on there, some of that was just for show. I mean, I don't think that it was as deep and as intense as it seemed to be, that hatred. I think part of it was playing to the crowd, playing to the audience, getting the Cleveland Browns fans on his side, especially so many of them that he, you know, he knew were against Hugh Jackson. So it was a way for him to kind of curry favor with this team and with this town. So I think it's just all part of the show these days.
You know, we've been talking all offseason, especially since the Odell trade, about the expectations this year being raised, the profile, obviously, the Browns raised, you know, the stuff that goes on we've been talking to you about with Odell and Colin Cowherd and all that. Do you think that this is going to have any effect on what they're trying to accomplish? Do you think it's going to affect what happens at practice or what happens this fall on the field?
Well, you know, I think that remains to be seen. I do think, just in looking back and studying some of the things that went on with Odell in New York, I think that coaches and some members of the front office felt that some of those things did become a distraction. And I think that's why he's in Cleveland right now, because some of the off-the-field stuff spilled over into the locker room, on, you know, onto the team, onto the field, whatever the case may be, to the point where they were done with it. And so I think that's where you have to be careful. Have fun with it. Do what you need to do. But when it comes to the point of it becomes a distraction to the football team and it does impact your ability to win games, that's what you don't want. And I think that the Browns are going to do a very good job of guarding against that. What I see right now, I wrote about this a little bit for today and some takeaways on OTAs. Freddie Kitchens doesn't really, in his heart of hearts, believe that it's okay for Odell not to be here. He doesn't believe that. No NFL coach would really feel that way. You would, of course, want them to be here. But what he's trying to do right now is he's trying to do what he did last year at Baker. He's getting Odell on his side. He's gaining his confidence. He's gaining his trust so that when you get into week 6 and week 10 and those kinds of things, that OBJ will run through a wall for him. So that's kind of what's going on now.
Mary Kay Cabot, join us on the hotline. Moving on, you know, we've had people like Joe Thomas say, all of this is nonsense. You don't really need guys to be there. He didn't feel like he was ever getting better because of any of this. So I'd ask you the question, if you even believe that to be the case or even partially accurate, are the Browns even getting better as a football team right now?
Sure they are. Of course they are. They are installing their offense and defense. They're developing chemistry. They're building bonds. They're building relationships. Olivier Vernon is getting to know Myles Garrett. That's vitally important. You know, the receivers, Antonio Callaway, you know, he could be getting to know OBJ right now, and those guys could be developing a relationship. OBJ could be getting to know his offensive coordinator for the first time. So, yes, it is important. Now, is it important necessarily for Tom Brady to be there in New England right now every year? Not so much. But this year in this city, I do think it's important. It's 13 practices, really, that you're talking about. And I do think that it would have been beneficial for everyone, including Baker Mayfield, who I stood out there and watched throwing the ball to, Damian Ratley, and Antonio Callaway. That's all well and good. And let me make this part very clear. I don't think it's going to affect OBJ's ability to play football. He's still going to be a great football player. We all know that about him. It's just the appearance of, I'm here, I'm committed, I've got your back, I'm with you, you know, we're in the trenches together, I'm getting to know you, we're becoming friends, we're doing some things off the field together, we're laughing, and then when we get to November, we're such good friends and such a tight-knit group that we can pull this thing off.
Mary Kay, should they just make all this off-season stuff mandatory?
Well, you know what? I actually do think that in the next CBA, even though they have shortened it up enough, that I think it could be mandatory, or at least more of it could be mandatory. Maybe they should make the extra voluntary minicamps mandatory and just the 10 OTAs. So you're talking about 13 extra days to hone your craft, to get together with your team. I mean, at the owners' meetings, you had Bill Belichick talking about how they don't have enough time with these players in the offseason anymore. It's vastly different than it used to be way back in the day. So, yes, I do think they should make some of it mandatory and so we could eliminate these issues.
All right, Mary Kay, appreciate you coming on as always. Thank you so much for your perspective.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Mary Kay, who said a couple notable things there, that there's no way as Mary Kay appeared on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. There's no way Freddie wouldn't have loved to have Odell Beckham there every single day. I know that fans seem not to care about this story, but I think coaches do. I think that's fair to say. Yeah. And yes, I've heard guys make great points. Chris Sims came on with us earlier this week and said, listen, these guys are world-class athletes, mm-hmm. and they want a program tailored for them, not the rest of the football team. And so, yeah, they're going to go work out at home, and they're going to go work out with their world-class trainers, and they're going to do what has helped them preserve their bodies in the past. Now, the only thing I would ask about Odell, and injuries can be a freaky thing, obviously. Odell has missed 16 games the last 2 years.
Yes, he has.
He's played 16 of 32 games. Does he need to be on more of a Cleveland Browns regimen? Does he need to be more on their program? I don't know enough about that stuff. I'm not somebody who studies any of that at that level. But he is somebody who has gotten injured the last 2 years. And obviously, his health is going to be of the utmost importance this year, Daryl, with this team. And I don't know. Maybe being with the team all the time wouldn't help in that regard.
Well, Freddie said, and I pulled up the quote because I wanted to make sure I got the quote accurate. This was when he was asked about Duke Johnson not being here. And he said, quote, "I would be lying to say that I wasn't disappointed that we don't have everybody here. I'm not going to fool you and try and trick you into saying I'm happy-go-lucky, fine with it. I want everybody here because I do think it is important to be here, but it is their option," end quote.
So he's telling you.
But
he's not going to throw him under the bus. I mean, he's not going to do that with any of his players. He's been very good about that. You know, look, Pat Shurmur tried to do the same thing last year with Odell. He really did. I know that we all think he's a dunce. He knew that he was going to need Odell to buy in, and he called him on the cell phone. He texted him, said they had a great relationship. Odell said they had a great relationship. Didn't work. Didn't work in the end. Hopefully it'll be different with Freddie and Baker. 216-578-0092 if you want to get in on that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.